Romans, chapter 12, is where we're at in our study through Romans. Romans 12 and verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love to us, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit who you put in our heart the moment that we trust you as our Savior. I thank you for the gifts that he has given to every believer to use in the body of Christ and in the church and in serving you and for your glory. And dear God, I pray for the filling of your Spirit now, that you would help me just teaching and preaching and regarding the lesson here tonight from Romans 12. And pray for my dear wife, fill her with your Spirit and use her teaching the deaf ladies class in there. Pray for Sister Stephanie in the nursery, fill her with your Spirit watching the children, dear God. And Lord, might you just help your people tonight. Help us by your Spirit. Open your word to us. Open our minds and hearts, dear God. And might we learn things. Might your Spirit convict us and teach us and guide us and encourage us, comfort us. You know the individual need of everyone here, and only you can meet those needs. And so often you do in ways that we can't understand many times and explain. But God, we do thank you and we do praise you for that. And so, Father, bless us as we gather around your word tonight. Speak to us once again, we pray, in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the Apostle Paul has written in Romans 12, he wants us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He talked about, because of the mercies of God, by the mercies of God. We talked about that all of Romans chapter 8, predestined and to be conformed to the image of Christ, and all things work together for good, that love God, we're called according to his purpose, and on and on and on. And because of all those things, present your body a living sacrifice. Paul also said, I beseech you by the grace given unto me. We looked at that, all the grace that poured on the Apostle Paul. He is what? The apostle to the Gentiles. We looked at all the sufferings of Paul. How did he get through those? By the grace of God. It was the grace of God that strengthened him. And on, there's a long list of God's mercies, a long list of God's grace upon Paul, which compel you and I, what? To present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord. And so we're encouraged to do that. And he begins showing us how we can serve in the church and those things that God has done for us through the Spirit. He says, I say, verse 3, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, when he talks about the measure of faith here, he's not talking about, how much faith you have, okay? We know there's sometimes we think about Jesus where had told certain people, according to your faith, so be it. And we might just casually read that and be misled and thinking that's what he's talking about there. No, the measure of faith here, it's talking about the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives among the believers after they're born again. He gives every man, look at the end of verse 1, according as God hath dealt to every man. That's, of course, man generic. Every believer has been given gifts, a gift or gifts. But definitely at least one by the Holy Spirit when you got saved to use for God's glory. And the measure of gift there is talking about which gift or gifts God gave you. Which gift or gifts the Holy Spirit gave you. We'll see that as we go down here. And we are to discern that as we serve God in the church. We're to be seeking God and to discern what our gifts are. Because of these gifts, some types of service may seem to come easier for them than others. Someone who has the gift of serving or ministering may not excel in a teaching ministry. Someone who has the gift of teaching may not excel in a serving ministry. And I just mean that some might see in some sense more blessings than another in that. Doesn't mean that we're not all called to serve in many ways. We are, and I'll talk about that if we get that far tonight. But looking at these gifts. So there's three phrases here within the next half dozen verses or so that I just read there that are used synonymously. And you'll find them here, the measure of faith, there at Romans, end of Romans 12 and chapter 3. And then he says, look at verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So the grace that is given to us is the same as the measure of faith there. He's talking in the same way there. And he says, if you have the gift of prophecy, look at the end of verse 6, prophesy according to the proportion of faith. All those three are used synonymously here in this passage. The measure of faith, the grace that is given to us, and the proportion of faith are all in the idea of which gifts did the Holy Spirit deal out to you? Which gifts did he deal out to me? And we are to through God's grace to discern that. And to serve God in those gifts that he has given us. So that's what it's talking about there in those terms there. We'll see it as we go down through. We have many members in one body, verse 4. All members have not the same office. Now, I read one commentator, I forget who it was kind of thought that it was talking about official positions in the church. When it's talking about office there. I don't think that's what it's talking about. The office there is kind of synonymous with the other three phrases that I just mentioned, but the office has the idea of it's our responsibility to serve in that. It's a place for us to serve in that God sees in the church. He's gifted us. He's given us, the Holy Spirit has given us these gifts, and so he knows how he has gifted us, and so he expects us to use that gift in the body of Christ. It's become our responsibility to use that gift. In that sense, it's an office that we're responsible to fulfill in the church, whatever that might be. He talks about one as we have many members in one body. You know, we have hands and arms and ears and eyes, talking about our body. We have many, many parts that work together in this one body. And he says, all members have not the same office. So our different parts of our body are for different things. I was thinking about that. You know, even the right hand and the left hand have you think, well, don't they? They're both hands, don't they? No, they have separate offices. Picture holding a baseball bat. What if you only had two right hands? that thing would what? It'd fly out of your hand because your thumbs would be turned around and all that. No, even the situation of your hands makes it kind of an individual a necessary need for each one, right and left. And God has the same thing in the body. They're all differing. Many of the gifts are differing. Some, everybody has at least one, the Bible says. Some may have more than one, but we are to use them. for God's glory. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible talks about this giving of gifts. It says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man." And indeed he did. To every single believer, he has given at least one gift to serve him with. Now, we are encouraged and yea, commanded to think soberly. He says, verse 3 here, he says, middle of the verse there, we're not to think more highly of himself than ought to think, but to think soberly. See, the sad part about it is we still have our old nature. And if God has gifted us in something, what do you think the old nature is going to want to do? Man, look how good you are at that, you know. And gonna be what, tempted to have pride and those things. So you got to think soberly. It is a gift that has been given to us. And we've seen how some folks at the Church of Corinth in our Sunday morning adult Bible study have misused the gifts and what, become what, proud in their service and such. In 1 Corinthians 4:6, Paul had been talking about, you know, one plants and another waters, but God gives the increase. And Paul was he applied those truths to himself and Apollos. And he says, what are we? We're just laborers. God gave the increase. You know, I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. Remember there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and he was teaching about that. And he went on to say in 1 Corinthians 4:6, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transformed to myself into Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." There is no place for pride. He goes on, 1 Corinthians 4:7, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? If it was given to you as a gift and given to me, or given to me as a gift, what do we got to brag about?" We have nothing to brag about, do we? All that we have comes of God's hand, and so we are to be sober about that, and to remember that, we'll be tempted to be proud in some areas, but we need to obviously put that before the Lord, and not go down that path. I think also about being sober about these gifts. What else might the flesh misuse a gift? Well, we may have a certain gift, but there may be some prejudice. Remember, James talked about prejudice in the church. There's no room for that. And James 2:1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory, with the respective persons." So if somebody had the gift of ministry, you know, well, I'll help out this person and mow their lawn, but, you know, I don't really like that person in the church, you know, and I don't like the part of town that they live in, or whatever it might be. And so the flesh will be tempted what? To be a respecter of persons when it comes to administering that gift. And we need to be sober, and we need to minister as God directs, and not be proud in those things, but just serve God faithfully in the church. So he talks about some of the gifts that are given here. He says, verse 6, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us." See, that shows us that the grace there is referring back to the gifts, because it's the differing gifts. That's that grace that's given to us. "Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." If you have been given the gift of prophecy, if that's the piece of the pie that the Holy Spirit cut out for you, by the way, there's only one believer that that ever had all the gifts. What's his name? Jesus Christ. That's right. He has all the gifts. In him, for God giveth what? Not the Spirit to him by measure. In him, he's given it to us by measure. We have all the Spirit in us, but we actually don't have all the gifts of the Spirit. No. I don't believe any single believer has all the gifts of the Spirit. But the gift of prophecy is one of those gifts. Let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Use that gift. If that's the poor, that's what God, that's piece of the pie the Holy Spirit gives you, then you are to use that. Now, what is that? What is the gift of prophecy? Is that applicable for us today? We think of prophecy. What do we think of? Foretelling the future, don't we? That's what we think of. And you know, there were some New Testament prophets. Now, of course, there's a whole lot of Old Testament prophets. Book of Daniel, just a wonderful, wonderful book. You can't understand Revelation without reading Daniel. But there's a whole lot of foretelling goes on. But that was happening in the New Testament also. There were some prophets foretelling the future. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 27, we read, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." So you had some people who were prophets foretelling the future, even in New Testament times. But we think of that, as we look at that gift of prophecy and look at the New Testament, we see that it is used synonymously with the gift of speaking, or what we might say, preaching. And I'm going to show you that looking at some verses. In 1 Corinthians 11:4, the Apostle Paul writes, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head." What's he talking about in the context there? Praying or speaking. So there, prophesying is likened to speaking. 1 Corinthians 14:3. Someone want to read that? LeBron? There's a definition right within the verse. But he that prophesieth what? Speaketh unto men to edification. So there it's actually defined that prophecy here has the idea of speaking unto men to edification. That's the preaching of the word, and exhortation and comfort. In Acts 15:32. Someone want to read that? Acts 15:32. You have it, Anna? Go ahead, Anna.
"And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them."
Judas and Silas, what? Being prophets themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words. And confirmed with what? With the Word of God. With the Word of God. And so we see it's being used synonymously in that way. We saw back there in 1 Corinthians 14:3, "He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation." And 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul writes to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead," that's the living and the dead, "at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." There it is. "Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." That exhorting tied in with prophet, with a prophet there in previous verses, and tied in with "preach the word" in 2 Timothy 4:2. So we see that. And in Titus 2:1, Paul encouraged Titus. He writes, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Become has the idea of being fitting with sound doctrine. He says, you know, speak those things that are sound doctrine, is what he's saying there. And that are fitting with sound doctrine. So that prophecy we realize today would be primarily the gift of preaching or speaking forth the word, exhorting, and those things. And then he says, or ministry, verse 7, "Let us wait on our ministering," and wait, the idea of tending to our ministering. And what is the ministry? Well, it's having that gift of service. Diakoneo is the Greek word. There just has the idea of a servant. We get our word deacon from that. But a serving ministry. There are people that they're great helpers. We read about some of those in the Bible. Paul talked about some who are great helpers to him, and that just seems to be their gift. That's their ministry. In Acts 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians among the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. A service. The widows were neglected. The Greek widows were being neglected. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." We're called to preach the word of God, to be studying, to be in prayer about that. That was their main calling. It's not, we right now we can't leave that to serve tables. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continue to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So they helped in taking care of this problem in the church. Some widows thought they were being neglected. They said preferring, wouldn't it? That'd be a respecter of persons. The Jews being tempted to take care of their widows first, but before the Grecian widows. No, that's not to be. Take care of that problem. So the apostles appointed some who were full of the Spirit and be able to handle that in a godly way. And by the way, it must work. We don't read anything else about it, do we? So that's a blessing. They must have took care of it. God helped and worked it out. And what a help and blessing that certainly is. So many helpers ways to minister in this gift of serving. Matter of fact, when the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Rome, he is in Corinth, and he's going to send the letter from there. And so as he's closing the letter in Romans 16:1, he writes, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centria." So this letter very well could have been sent with Phoebe. She was given that responsibility to bring this letter to the church at Rome from Corinth there. And Paul goes on there. He says, "I commend her to you. She's a servant of the church at Centria." That's a port city in Corinth. He says, "that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer or a helper of many, and of myself also." So I don't know. Maybe she was over some kind of ministry in the churches. Maybe she organized when traveling preachers and such would come. They need a place to stay. They need food and all that. Maybe she would gather or organize those things, get people. Who knows? But she was doing it. Paul says, "Help her whatever business that she has need of." She is serving Christ in the church. Whatever she was doing, she was a helper and a minister. And using those gifts for God's glory, and that is a great blessing. Ministering there, that may be a gift that you have, and we are to think soberly about our gifts. What's the flesh going to want to do when it comes to gifts? Oh, I want the gift that gets all the glory, the speaker or whatever it might be that gets the glory. Well, you can't do the work of God in the flesh, okay? So if you don't have the gift, in some areas you can't neglect your gift you have to do something else. You want to be working through the gift that you have. In James 3:1, James writes, "My brethren, be not many masters." Everybody wanted to be a teacher.
Hey, if everybody's a teacher in the church, who are we going to teach? we'll just have eight classes here, and now we'll go out and see if 8 or 10, 12 classes. We'll go see if we can find students for them, okay? Now, everybody in the church can't be a teacher, okay? And James says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. There's a judgment. Condemnation has the idea of judgment. Those who teach the word of God have to answer for what they teach. And for those whom they're teaching, in a sense, before the Lord. And so that is something to consider to be sober about that, being sober about which gifts we have. Verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. The teaching gift. Teaching. And it has the idea of instructing others, being able to simply explain the grand truths of the Christian doctrines. And so there are those who are gifted in teaching, and using. I'm thankful for those teaching here. God using them, it's a great blessing. Verse 8: He that exhorteth on exhortation, exhorting. Maybe a special gift of the prophet, namely to urge or impress, to entreat warmly, to duty, after one understands the duty, but being able to encourage people and speaking what the truth in love, being what gentle with all men, patient, apt to teach, those type things there. He that exhorteth on exhortation, giving. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Boy, if you have the gift of giving, what might the flesh be tempted to be, to do, Well, I'll take, write that big old fat check, just put it in the offering plate, right side up, write a big bold letter so everybody can see it. Look how much I gave. I take great pains to not know how much people give here, and I will continue to do that. I'll tell you that. I don't know. I don't want to know, and I don't need to know. Okay, because why? Because God gives, doesn't He? And He provides for our needs. He that giveth with simplicity, the duty of giving, it applies really to all who have to give. Some who have the gift of giving may be moved a little bit more than others, and may have with that perhaps gifts of, oftentimes with the gift of giving comes the gift of making that money to give. And we see that throughout many great Bible people throughout history. God blessing them greatly, and them giving greatly as well. Let them do it with simplicity, not selfy or showy. In that, just humbly giving. And what Jesus say when you do your alms? What? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand do it. By the way, the more secret it can be, the better. And I understand that that we can write the checks and such because we get it. We get a tax break on that. And I'm not against that. That's good. Since Uncle Sam decided to take it off the top before you get it. Isn't that interesting? God doesn't make us give Him His share, but Uncle Sam takes it off the top. He makes us give Him His share. But I thought to find that interesting. It's really all God's. And someone said the question as the offering plate goes around is not how much of my money should I give God, but how much of God's money should I keep for myself? And is really the truth of the matter. But just giving as God directs, and God blessing in that gift there. Ruling those whom the Holy Ghost has made overseers often are to feed the church of God, ruling. And that may have the idea of administration. This Phoebe, she may have had that gift of ruling. She may be able to coordinate those things. It doesn't just apply to a pastor or to leaders in the church. She may have that in a sense, or in her ministry, in organizing those things. And they're to rule with what? Diligence. Anybody have a problem with procrastination? My hand's already up. So that's a temptation of the flesh, isn't it? And is to put things off, and we need to what? We need to work on that and to be diligent in those things. See, everything we have, the flesh can get in there and mess it up, can't it? It's interesting if you look at these things when he says ruling with diligence and he says mercy with cheerfulness. Each one ties in to how the flesh might mess it up. Gift of mercy, showing mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy, he that shows mercy either in actual service toward the afflicted or in giving of his means in the complaining way or even muttering makes his service unpleasant to the receiver and loses his reward beside. If you're ministering, people that need mercy often are people who are needy. And people who are needy, anybody been around needy people? If you've been in church long, you've been around needy people. And now, not always, but people who are needy often what? Have put themselves there by their own neglect. And what's the temptation? It's to lose that joy in your ministry of showing mercy. So when you show mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Don't let the devil drag you down and get to trying to judge people and look at their circumstances. No, just do your ministry, with joy. And God blesses a cheerful giver, doesn't he? And showing mercy with cheerfulness. One may get hard-hearted if ministering to those whose need for mercy has risen from their own sin, neglect, or idleness. That would be the temptation. And so we see that. And so finally, these gifts. Now, believers, we are called to serve God in many ways. Someone who has the gift of being an evangelist, would have a gift of sharing the gospel. You say, well, I don't have the gift of sharing the gospel, so I don't have to go share the gospel. No, guess what? You still have to go share the gospel. But the fact is, just the fact that you don't have the gift might make it a little tougher for you. But that's okay, because the Holy Spirit's with you. And he will help you share the gospel the way that he wants you to share the gospel, to whom he wants you to share the gospel. So just because we don't have the gift doesn't mean in many cases we're not called by God to serve in that respect. A couple things in relation to that. Galatians 5:13, end of the verse. By love we what? We serve one another. So whether we have the gift of ministry or not, guess what we're supposed to do? Serve one another. All of us. And some of us will find out in doing that they actually have the gift for that. But we're all supposed to serve one another. Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. So we're all supposed to what? Comfort and encourage, have that gift of mercy. We may not all have that gift of mercy, but we're also supposed to what? Try to comfort one another. Try to show mercy. Try to help. Some of us will find in doing that that we have the gift for that. You might find you have the gift for that. Who knows? But we're all supposed to be merciful to one another as believers. Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. By the way, that's for all believers, isn't it? So we're all supposed to give as God directs. And in so doing, you might even find you have the gift of giving. But every believer is to be giving. Hebrews 10:25, exhort one another. Talking about being faithful to the gathering together of believers. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many think that Christ's coming is getting closer? Everybody does, don't they? And then what the Bible says, well, if you believe that, then be even more faithful. And he's specifically talking about the gathering together of believers. If you believe that, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Be faithful to the house of God, faithful to the things of God, exhorting one another. And in so doing, you might find you have the gift of exhortation. But we're all supposed to what? Exhort and encourage one another. And then finally, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. We all teach one another, don't we? We all can share scripture with one another, can't we? And we are to be doing that. And by the way, in so doing what? You might find you have the gift of teaching. You may not. But you might find you have the gift of teaching. But we all are to do all these things that God commands us. And some of us will be gifted in some areas. And we'll serve God. We may not find it quite as hard as others to serve in that area. So just be prayerful about what your gift may be. Think about, how can I help the brethren in church? You hear about a need. How is your heart moved to help? Some people think right away, well, I'm going to cook them a meal or something, and maybe you have the gift of ministry. I want to mow their lawn. Maybe that's the gift of ministry. Something you think about there. Or, I want to organize, help them with their tax, organize that. Maybe you have the gift of administration. And what does your heart, your spiritual mind jump to when you want to help somebody in some way? That may be an indication of what your gift may be. And if you're wondering what your gift is, usually if you've been in church long enough time, ask your brethren, ask those that are around you. They may know our gifts more than we do, and be able to recognize that. So that's there as well. All right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I know it's the Spirit of Christ that lives in our hearts. And dear God, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, you are there with us to be all that we need for each day's trial. Dear God, I thank you that as we grow in our Christian life and faith, that our prayers and our hearts' cries unto you, Father, become much of praise, really, much of thankfulness for your mercies and for your grace. Oh, we cry out for our needs. We cry out for wisdom, God. But when we look at our lives, how you've cared for us, how can we help but be humbled at the abundance of your mercies and goodness to us, God? And I pray we never forget that. And so, Father, help us in serving you here in this place just to love one another. And that will involve ministering to one another with the gifts that you've given us. And give us discernment in that. Individually, help us as a church, dear God, to accomplish your will. I thank you for this privilege that we've had to meet together as your people tonight. And we just pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.